welcome to the Biblical Flat Earth. I'm Che. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for engaging. It's been a great pleasure. And again, Scott is out this week again, and he's going to be out for the time being dealing with a personal issue. Please pray for him. Please pray for him. We've gotten emails of people saying they're praying for him. And man, we thank you. And I guarantee Scott thanks you. God bless each of you. And if you want to, hit us up at thebiblicalflatearth@protonmail.com. thebiblicalflatearth@protonmail.com. Share us your story of how you woke up. I shared my story last week. Share me your story of how you came to understand the flat earth. I'm interested in both the stories of how you woke up to what's happening in the political realm, even the social realm, and then how you woke up regarding our living realm that we live in, the earth, the seas, the firmament, the primordial waters, below us being Hades or Sheol. How'd you wake up to that? I'm very curious. And I love reading those kind of stories. And if you have nobody to share it to, you have somebody to understand it here. So, without being judged. And even if you hate us, I know there are people that I knew going into this there would be haters. I knew it. So I know there are haters listening. God bless you too. Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving me the numbers. Thanks for giving Scott and I the numbers. We're glad to have you here as well. If you want to send hate mail, I'm just going to ignore it. I mean, you can send it, but I'm not going to read it. Thank you guys for listening. Either way, God bless you. We're going to talk about today, Matthew 6. Matthew 6 is a chapter in the Bible. It's Matthew is the book that is written to prove that Jesus is indeed the Jewish Messiah. And he divides it, right? I've talked about it before. The Bible is, each book is divided into sections. Matthew is no different. Matthew is divided into sections. And after Jesus is tempted, after Matthew chronicles Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by the devil and all that stuff, it goes straight into a section. A section changes, and that section becomes the teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, which all the teachings of Jesus are consolidated into one section, in one place. And we're going to go into Matthew 6, where Jesus teaches us how to pray. See, you think Jesus, think about this, right? We understand that the earth, right? God separated the waters. God put the waters all in one place. And then he named this place that he put the waters sea. And he named the spot, the places where he where there was no waters, he named it earth. And then the plants came, and then the sun came, and then the lights came, the sun and the moon and the stars. And we have the firmament above. We have the primordial waters. We have heaven above the primordial waters. I'm a teacher. It's all repetition. I think I've said this earlier, but I think it's good to have repetition, to really get this ingrained into our heads, because that's how the Jews saw the earth. And if the Jews, when Genesis was written under the tradition, saw that, and we know that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. By him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that means Jesus was there and did the creation. He was God. So you think Jesus understood completely how this earth was shaped? He created it. Think about this. Think about this. Keep this in mind. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. One of the teachings of Jesus. And when thou prayest, when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. You should not act like the hypocrites. You should not do it like the hypocrites. What do hypocrites like to do? For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. They love to stand in the corners of the streets and in the synagogues, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Jesus is saying, don't be like the hypocrites when you pray. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the corner of the streets. They want to be seen by people. See, they want to be seen by all the people and know, oh, look how awesome I am. Look how holy I am. Look how cool I am. All the immature Christians are going to think I'm so awesome. And some of those immature Christians may be pretty girls. And if you're a girl, some of the immature Christians may be attractive, rich men. And maybe they notice me. Oh my goodness. How flattering. That's Jesus says, when that happens, when they notice you, that's their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Here we go. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be like, you don't have to say things over and over and over and over and over. It's cool to worship when you're worshiping the Lord. When you have a statement that's like resonating with the Spirit when you're worshiping. Worshiping and praying are different. When there's like a statement about the Lord that you're just magnifying his name and you're bringing his name up and the Spirit's responding, that's fine. And like people are feeling the Spirit when you're worshiping. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They think they'll be heard by speaking much, a lot. See, when people pray, they think they're going into some alternate reality, like, and then even Christians do this, right? The earth is round. We don't know where heaven is. We think heaven is just some alternate reality, some weird place. So we got to go, you know, when we pray to get in this weird alternate reality. That's not what we have to do. That's not what we have to do. Because when you know this is a reason why. See, when we know the shape of, everybody's like, what does this have to do with the gospel? What does the shape of the earth have to do with advancing the gospel? It has a lot to do with advancing of the gospel. Because this deception is wide and deep. And why is it there? It's to discredit the Bible. I'm going to show you this right now. This is going to connect you to God so much better. You're going to be able to connect to God so much better after this. I'm going to be able to connect to God. I'm getting revelation as I'm saying this. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. This is verse 7. chapter 6, verse 7. When ye pray, this is Jesus himself. This is the red letters. And when ye pray, use not vain. Jesus himself, the creator of the earth, right? Jesus created the earth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. By him all things were made. And without him was not anything made that was made. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They think that they have to go to this alternate reality. They think they got to do all this stupid stuff because they don't know where God is. Christians do this. Pastors do this. It's very common. We who understand that heaven is above. It's above the firmament. It's above the primordial waters. It's the highest. But it's close. It's a real place. When we understand that heaven is a real place, we don't have to go into this stupid alternate reality. We understand that we just say, our Father who art in heaven. And just say what we have to say to God. Because God hears us. Second Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Throughout the whole earth. See the eyes. He's above in heaven, right? He's up in heaven. This is the Father, right? The Father of the triune. He's the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart are perfect towards him. How are our hearts perfect towards him? It's through Jesus Christ. It's through the Son. That's what it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9. God's scanning the earth. He's looking at this earth. He knows when people are praying. He's seeing when people's hearts are turned to him and they're praying in the name of Jesus with a sincere heart. And they're saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? That's when God sees it and he hears it. We don't have to enter into some stupid alternate reality or ultimate dimension or anything like that. We don't have to think about something that oh, does it exist or doesn't exist? Yeah, heaven exists. It's up. It's above us. It's above us. Verse 8, Matthew 6, verse 8, but be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't be like them, is what Jesus is saying. For your Father knows what things you need before you even ask him. This is what it says in exactly. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't be like them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him, as his eyes are scanning the earth to and fro to look for people whose hearts are turned to him. To see whose heart is perfect toward him via his Son, Jesus Christ. Not via self-righteousness. The Lord is not impressed by things that people are impressed by. See, people are impressed by, ooh, this guy seems like he knows how to pray. You know, he says all this cool stuff. He says all these words, and his voice really speaks in an authoritative manner. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This guy knows how to pray. I ought to get him to pray for me. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he tries to pray into some alternate reality. Sometimes God's answer those prayers because people don't know. People are deceived. People can turn to God in a sincere heart. I used to turn to God in a sincere heart when I thought the earth was round. Just because you think the earth is round doesn't mean you don't believe God exists, but I think this opens up a greater reality. See, understanding that the earth is shaped the way the ancient Jews saw it in Genesis 1, a flat earth. It enhances the Bible because we have a greater understanding of the truth. That's why it's important. people who think the earth is round, they don't understand that heaven is a real place. It's above us, our Father in heaven. Think about this. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, right? Peace and goodwill toward men. Glory to God where? In the highest, in heaven, above the primordial waters, above the firmament. Heaven, the real place. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So just say, our Father, right? And after this manner, therefore pray ye. Pray like this is what Jesus is saying. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One, we're praying to a real Father who sits in heaven, who's scanning the earth, right? His eyes are running to and fro, the whole earth, right? The circle of the earth, to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. This verse was actually said in a negative connotation because this prophet was chastising a king who'd kind of turned wicked, who was once good and who'd kind of turned wicked. But it means what it means, and it says what it says, no matter the context. The eyes of the Lord are run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. So he goes, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. See, he's saying this to a king that the Lord was not pleased with. But the eyes of the Lord do scan the earth to and fro. They look to and fro throughout the whole earth. So when we pray, like Jesus taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, right? Where we are now, the living, where we are now, as it is in heaven, where God is, where the Father is, where Jesus sits. Jesus sits in our heart as well. And the Holy Spirit is God's work on the earth today. But the Father sits in heaven. Jesus sits at his right hand. And the saints are up there as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They're all worshiping the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory, Hosanna in the highest. They're all worshiping the Lord up there. And the Lord is scanning this earth to and fro. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And he goes on. See, I heard a pastor say, well, I don't know how this advances the gospel. I don't know how this has anything to do with the advancement of the gospel. That's what one pastor said. I saw the quote directly. I heard him say it. I don't know. Well, that's how. We know where heaven is. God's not some alternate reality. God is here. God is close. Heaven is close. God is real. God hears your prayer. See, I'll never forget this. This is when I was first starting my understanding of the truth, right? This was my, when it started. Or when it was first starting, when I was really seeking to understand the truth. You know, I've never worshipped Satan, but I've always been interested in the occult. And I've always been studying it. I've always been interested in communism. See, I was a history major. I've always been interested in how just evil works, but I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'll never be evil. But I came across this video of an occultist who came out of it somehow. Well, you can come out of it through the power of Jesus, but you have to give your whole life to him. Your whole life, not parts of it. Because if you get parts of it, you will be susceptible to torment. But this guy came out of it, apparently. I know this video is no longer on YouTube because a lot of the stuff I was seeking was once, you know, okay, but censors came in. And, you know, when things really tightened, probably around after 2016, when they really started censoring hard. And this one guy, well, no, this, you want me to tell you a story? This one time. This is a little tangent. This is not about the guy that I was talking about. This is another video I was watching. Now, I was watching this video. I was on my iPhone watching this video of a member of a certain secret. This guy was a member of a certain secret society, and he came out and he was telling them what a lot of this. He was telling it on a YouTube video. He's probably somebody a lot of you know. Maybe some of you know who he is. He came out of a certain secret society and he started telling all the secrets behind it. And I was watching and I was in the middle of it. I was enthralled. I was really intrigued. And my phone just fried. The motherboard. No, it just shut off. I mean, shut off. At first, I thought the battery died. And then I plugged it in to charge. It wouldn't charge. It wouldn't charge. And I had it on there for overnight. I was like, maybe if I just turn it on overnight, maybe it'll work. It didn't work. So I took it to the iPhone repair shop. He opened it up. He's like, your motherboard's fried, brother. I was like, what? It happened while I was watching that stupid video. Not that stupid video, that very revealing video. But anyway, this is another video that I watched. The guy coming out of the occult, right? This is the main thing he said. The greatest deception of Satan is to discredit the creation. Because it discredits the entire Bible. And if you can discredit, this is exactly what he said. This is the strategy of Satan, and I believe it. I totally believe it. When you can discredit the creation, you can discredit other things. And then you can discredit the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people can question whether or not Jesus Christ actually existed. Well, I don't know what this does to advance the gospel. It does a lot to advance the gospel. It does a lot because truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the truth, to have a greater understanding of the gospel, you have to have a greater understanding of the truth. That's a fact. See? In these arguments that I get with people over, not arguments, yeah, they're kind of arguments, you know, intense, heated debates on social media. Really stupid, but they reveal a lot, actually. They reveal a lot. And I follow a lot of people who debate, and I follow these debates. Sometimes I'll read every word of them when I'm not debating. And a lot of them say the same thing. Well, they'll say with Genesis 1, they'll say, well, were the Jews incorrect? Yeah, that was an antiquated way of thinking. You know, they'll say something like that. Well, what about the gospel? Well, you know, that's the truth. You know, that's a timeless truth. Well, what about gay marriage and what about transgenderism? Well, that was an antiquated way of thinking. That's okay now. No. See, if you read Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah, that lifestyle was every bit as prevalent then as it is now. If you read throughout the prophets and the minor prophets, those were the issues that they were dealing with. If you read through the epistles of Paul, living in the Greco-Roman world and going throughout the Greco-Roman world, the hedonistic Greco-Roman world, to spread the gospel, traveling those Roman roads to meet people of different cultures, that's what they were dealing with. Homosexuality, transgenderism, orgies. They were dealing with all those things. So that's every bit as antiquated and as old as living a life according to what the Bible says, according to Deuteronomy, according to the teachings of Jesus, according to the teachings of Paul. They are the same age. Evil is slightly younger. See, right? God created Adam and Eve, but at some point, Eve offered Adam the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's slightly younger. Then Cain murdered Abel. Right? So I heard somebody explain this. What do you think cannibal, the word cannibal, comes from? From Cain's murder of Abel. Think about that. Where did Abel go? His blood fell on the ground, but where did his body go? Pretty despicable of Cain. But evil, the point is, evil has existed for a very long time on this earth. It's just as antiquated as, it's almost as antiquated as perfection, as goodness. So I say, well, you know, it's antiquated, you know. It's an antiquated way of thinking. Here's where the decision came to me. There came a point. See, we have to understand, were those ancient Jews, right? Genesis was written as the Jews were coming out of Egypt. The Jews were coming out of Egypt and they were in that wilderness, right? That's when Genesis was written. That's when those oral stories are being told. And we believe Moses is the one that actually put the pen to the paper to write all those oral stories, to tell who the Amalekites were, who the Ammonites were, you know, who the Moabites were, who, you know, where Judah, the tribe of Judah came from, all the stories of Judah and Tamar, where the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh came from, and the story of Joseph, right? Where the tribe of Dan came from, and Naphtali. Where did all those tribes come from? That's what Genesis is. It tells you the story of the forefathers, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It tells the story of those forefathers. Where they came from. And those Jews were coming out of Egypt, right? And Moses, we believe Moses compiled all those stories and all those lineages into one book called Genesis to remind the Jews exactly who they were and exactly who the people around them were as well. But anyway, there came a point where I'm going to believe who are the true bearers of the truth. Who are the real bearers of the truth? Was it those Jews coming out of Egypt, led by fire and during the night and led by smoke in the day? Communing with the living God? Having God guide them and feed them manna? Am I going to believe them? They are the true bearers of the truth? Or is my second grade, liberally trained teacher, or some pastor from a Holy Spirit sucking seminary, who said, God created the universe, you know, who they still say that, or the TV or Hollywood, who puts a globe everywhere on this earth? Am I going to believe those ancient Jews who are guided by God and fed by God, the manna in the wilderness? Or am I going to believe those, everything else in this world? Am I going to believe everything else? That McGraw-Hill textbook, Hollywood, NASA, our government, quote-unquote science. Am I going to believe all those things? Or am I going to believe those people being guided by God who wrote Genesis by the power and the understanding and the knowledge of the truth revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, when Jesus said, write all of this down in Deuteronomy? That's who I, there came a point where I said, that's who I'm going to believe in. So now I don't have to think of some stupid alternate dimension when I pray to God. You know, Holy Spirit, come. You know, and I don't have to get into some alternate reality and some Brahman and some state of stupid nirvana. I don't have to do that. I can just pray according to reality because God is living. Jesus is living. You know, Jesus went straight up. He ascended, is what it says, to heaven. What does that mean? Ascend. Descend means to go down. Ascend means to go up. He ascended up to heaven. See, that's what I'm going to believe. I'm believing the Bible. That's what I chose. And I know you chose that as well. And man, it opens up a lot of knowledge. It opens up a lot of revelation. And I got that with Jesus. This is how you pray. Pray our Father who is in heaven. He hears you. He understands you. He sees you. Isn't that awesome news? That's amazing news. And man, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit prompt me right now to share the gospel. See, Adam ate that apple on the earth with his wife, with Eve. Was it an apple? I don't know. Apple seems to think so. The company, they have that bite out of that apple on that every computer you see, every iPhone you see, and every you see. I washed a car. I washed a friend's car today, and it had a big old Apple sticker on the window, you know, with that bite coming out of it. Apple, God, Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the knowledge of good and evil. They took a bite out of it. After being deceived by the serpent, sin came into the earth. People were born separate from God. We could no longer see God. We can no longer live in perfect communion with God. Or man couldn't do that. But God was merciful. He made them close. And he said, I will enable you to stomp the head of the serpent. That's what he told the lady. That's what he told Eve. And out of that evil world, God chose a virgin named Mary. Generations later, many, 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 many generations later, God chose a young virgin. See, he was scanning the earth to and fro, right? Looking for people whose hearts were turned to him. He saw Mary. He saw a virgin, a young virgin named Mary. And he decided, that's who I want my son to go through. That's who I want to have my son. And, oh, lo and behold, she was betrothed. She was engaged to a man who's in the direct line of King David. A king. A king. A king of Israel. So, Jesus was born a king of Israel. From a virgin. And he lived a perfect life on this earth. He taught us to pray. He did miracles. He healed the sick. Because he lived a perfect life. He had perfect communion with God. He did not know how to sin. He didn't sin. He knew no sin. He was tempted to sin, but he didn't do it. He was tempted to give his soul to Satan. Satan said, if you bow and worship me, I'll give you all of this that you see. He took him to the highest point. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan. I'm sure Jesus saw a flat earth when he went to that highest point. And Satan said, I'll give it all to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus didn't do it. You know, a lot of people were coming to learn, give in to that temptation. A lot of people do. A lot of people will sell their souls for the most minute things. It's kind of pathetic. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus went, lived that perfect life. He obeyed God completely to the cross so he could die for you and all the rest of humanity, all the rest of those people who would accept him. He died for them. He died for you. Ultimately, you as an individual, because he loves you. And not only did he die, so Jesus said, when you eat of this, the fruit of this tree, or Jesus, yeah, it was Jesus, actually. Jesus was in the beginning with God. When you eat of the fruit of this tree, he told Adam and Eve, you will surely die. So Jesus, right? Born of the virgin, never sinned, went on the cross to die for us. What happens when you don't sin, when you've never sinned in your life? You can't die. He died for us, but then on the third day, he rose from the dead. And Paul says in Romans that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, he is Lord. He's a king of all. If you say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus died for you. The Holy Spirit's prompted me to do this. I didn't intend to share the gospel. I just intended to do a teaching on how Jesus said to pray. Jesus died for you. Maybe you came to this knowledge of a flat earth and you're here just seeking and looking for content, but the living God wants to become your father. He wants you to live for him, and he's going to change your life for the better. It's time to meet the living God who's real, who died, and who was raised to life. And after he was raised to life, he walked on this earth and interacted with his disciples and with people, and then he ascended into heaven before sending out the Great Commission. go into all the earth to preach the gospel. Go to the ends of the earth is what he said. Did he say go around the globe to preach the gospel? No, he said go to the ends of the earth. Go to the ends of the earth. Go to Australia. Go to New Zealand. Go to Southeast Asia. Go to South Africa. Go to that very eastern tip of Russia. Go to Alaska. Go to those tiny islands in Alaska. Go to all those islands in the Pacific. Share and make disciples of all nations is what he says. He wants to unite the whole world for him. All the earth for him. See, you understand when I say earth now? Jesus is tapping on your heart. And he's saying, I love you. Let me work on your behalf. Stop resisting me. And let me work on your behalf. Let me help you. Let me make your life better. Let me provide for you. Every good thing comes from the Father of lights, is what it says in James. God wants to give you every good thing. He says in Psalms, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. How do you walk uprightly? It starts with giving your life to Jesus. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. He'll bless you. He'll give you a life you've never dreamed of. God sent me all over the world. Man, he brought me to North Korea. I've been to China, been to Mongolia. To share the gospel, I've seen so many things, so many amazing things. I've seen his creation. I never imagined that this boy from the South would travel the world sharing the gospel of Jesus. But Jesus brought me to the world. That's the kind of life he'll give you. He'll give you a life that you could never imagine, better than you can ever imagine. So let's pray. Now let's pray knowing where God is. Our Father in heaven, right? Hallowed be your name. Now repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. I say with my mouth that you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Jesus, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you, God. Your work on the cross has saved me. And we can live victorious because you rose from the dead. Jesus, from this day forward, I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, man, that's good. That's good. You're saved. You're quote unquote saved. You know, and get a Bible and read it. And I'm sure you probably already know a lot of the Bible. A lot of non-Christians know a lot of the Bible. But when you start reading the Bible this time, ask the Holy Spirit to guide your reading. Ask the Holy Spirit to interpret the Bible for you. And man, those words will come alive. And find a church where there are real believers in Jesus. I mean, there are a lot of bad ones. And, you know, if you find that a church is not a good one, move on. If they're preaching something other than Jesus and the cross, if they're just giving you a little feel-good Facebook, you know, meme messages. Some pastors do that, that have nothing to do with Jesus, that just have everything to do with just emotion and making you feel good. Get away from it. But if they're preaching the gospel and they're preaching Jesus and they're preaching the cross and they're preaching God raised him from the life, from death to life, might be worth staying. And you know what? Be loyal to it. Sometimes people are going to disappoint you, but the church, but be loyal to it and forgive them, because the church isn't perfect. Only God's perfect. People aren't perfect. People are going to disappoint you. It's the truth, but be loyal to that church and you're going to grow. If you find that people aren't acting, I mean, and leave the church if the Holy Spirit prompts you, you have to live a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit and go get baptized. Get baptized. At my church, it's easy to get baptized. At a good church, it should be easy. You shouldn't have to take some 6-month class, you know. Then some of them require that, and I disagree with that. I think baptism should be easy. It should just happen. You want to go get baptized? Okay, well, get baptized. Let the Holy Spirit guide it. You don't have to do all the work of the Holy Spirit yourself. That's what I feel. Get baptized. Start reading the Bible with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Start seeking out other believers. Ask God to give you close friends who are Christians. And you're going to grow. You're going to grow. God's faithful. He provides. See, we prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We prayed to a place, to God, in a certain place, who's close, who sees us. God bless you all. Hey, and we came to a segment, a caller asked us, and a lot of people ask us this question. What about the eclipse that happened a few weeks ago? What about it? You know, he sent this one guy specifically, he sent us an email, you know, at our thebiblicalflatearth@protonmail.com. I don't pretend to be an expert. Science has never been my thing. My thing has always been history. My thing has always been the Bible. But I did some research on it. And societies all throughout the earth, right? The Babylonians, ancient societies, the Chinese, the Mayans, you know, those Indians in the South and South America, the Incans and the Mayans, they were able to predict to the minute when eclipses would happen. And you know what? They believed the earth was flat. Eclipses have nothing to do with a round earth or a flat earth. They are a phenomenon. Why? Because we're learning that, I never knew this. I didn't know this till I was researched. The moon and the sun travel at different speeds. And it can be predictable when they meet. And people are like, well, what about a lunar eclipse? You know, where the sun is blocking, you know, where the earth is blocking the sun and according to the moon, you know, and it's like we're living and then there's a shadow. Well, there are instances where both the sun and the moon are both in the sky at the same time during those lunar eclipses. And there's specific days. I forgot those exact days, but there are like specific instances where that happened. The point is the sun and the moon, which travel, if there's an app that shows this, there's a flat earth app. Actually, that I think you pay a few bucks and they'll show it to you. I mean, I go on Truth Social. That's my favorite place to interact with other flat earthers. You can find us on there. I mean, I'm not going to tell you my handle, but maybe I might start the biblical flat earth handle. But I go on Truth Social, and if you seek, you'll find. I found a few of them, and I like, and I'm enthralled by their debate. And the sun. Right, this is a circle of the earth. Is do we know that the earth is a circle? I don't know. Only God knows that, I believe. But it is, I mean, he says a circle of the earth in the Bible, so it must be a circle. And we had that flat earth map, right? And during the sun, and during the summers in the northern hemisphere, right, above the equator, the sun travels further north. It travels in a circle, in a circuit around the earth, and it can't, this light can't possibly cover the entire realm. It can only cover certain parts. We obviously know that. And the moon travels at a different speed. And at times when things are traveling at different speeds, they can meet. One passes up the other. Have you ever seen a NASCAR race? Or have you, see, I'm from the South. Have you ever seen a NASCAR race? Have you ever seen a NASCAR race? Or like some of you who are like more sophisticated, have you ever seen the probably if you're middle class, you probably like, have you seen an IndyCar race? And if you're like really sophisticated, maybe British or European, somebody from like Western Europe, you know, have you seen a Formula One race? Ooh, see, that's sophisticated. See, they run around those Formula One vehicles, you know, the McLaren Honda. It runs around in a circle or in a circuit, and the McLaren sometimes is faster than the Red Bull, and sometimes they meet in the track. Right? That's an eclipse, from what I understand, from what I've come to understand. That's what the sun and the moon do. They go in a circuit around the earth. And I said it before, in summers in the northern hemisphere, it's closer to the center. And in summers in the southern hemisphere, that sun and the moon, they're closer to that, to Antarctica. And it flies, you know, goes sub, it goes closer to over Australia, you know, New Zealand, South Africa. That's how it works. Makes a lot of sense to me. Hey, if you have any other questions, and if you want to share your story, or if you need somebody to talk to who understands your plight, hit us up. TheBiblicalFlatEarth@ProtonMail.com. TheBiblicalFlatEarth@ProtonMail.com. Thank you guys very much, and God bless all of you.